Thank you and good morning. The question I want to address on the program today is it wrong to debate religious questions? Have you ever tried to discuss religious differences with someone and then they respond by saying, well, I don't believe it's right for us to debate religious questions. Arguing religion is wrong. Well, oftentimes the door is closed to serious religious discussion of what the Bible teaches by the statement, it is wrong to debate religion. Well, is that true? Is it wrong for Christians to debate their religious convictions? What I want to show today is that the Bible teaches that not only is it not wrong to debate religion, but that the Lord even requires His people to do it. First of all, I think it is important that we mention that the reason Christians should debate religious questions is because there is absolute truth and that truth matters. You know, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." To be free from the bondage of sin, which is the freedom Jesus is talking about in this passage, one must know the truth. Also in John 17, verse 17, Jesus said when praying to the Father, "Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth." No one can be sanctified without knowing God's word, the truth. If any of us are to be free of sin and be in fellowship with God, we must know the truth, God's Word. You see, there is truth, and truth matters. Well, what if someone presents some teaching that is not according to God's Word, the truth? Well, it is the Christian's responsibility to try to convince him of the error of his way. James says in James 5, verses 19 and 20, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Since the truth matters, I will try to turn a sinner from the error of his way. And also, if I am the one who is in error, then I should want one who knows the truth to try to convince me of my error so that I can know the truth and be saved. And truth is absolute. There is truth and there is error. There is what is right and there is what is wrong. Either I believe and practice the truth or I believe and practice error. The Apostle John says in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then in verse 6 he says, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so there is truth and there is error. And that is because truth is absolute. And the nature of truth is that it does not contradict itself. For example, the mathematical problem 2 plus 2 cannot equal both 4 and 5. One is true and the other is false. And so, if two people differ on what is the truth, then somebody is wrong. Now, they may both be wrong, but they cannot both be right since truth does not contradict itself. And so, when two people differ on what the truth is, what should they do? Well, they should search for the truth. They should discuss it, reason together, debate the issue, present arguments, all for the purpose of learning truth. And whoever is wrong needs to change. We have an example of this in Acts chapter 18. In Acts 18, we read of Apollos who had been instructed in the way of the Lord and taught accurately the things of the Lord. But it says he knew only the baptism of John. You see, Apollos was in error concerning John's baptism. Now, he didn't know he was in error, but he was. Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, no doubt, Aquila and Priscilla presented arguments proving that Apollos was wrong in his teaching. Well, why did they do this? Well, because truth matters. And to Apollos' credit, he changed and began preaching the truth. Now, what if Apollos had said, "Well, you have your belief and I have my belief. I just don't think we ought to debate this matter." Well, if he had done that, he would have never known the truth. Now, when the Apostle Paul would enter a city, it was his custom to enter a Jewish synagogue to teach them. These Jews didn't know the truth about the Christ. They didn't believe that the Christ had already come, and they certainly didn't believe that he was to die on a cross and be raised from the dead. But Paul reasons with them and tries to persuade them of the truth. Look in Acts 17. In verse 1 it says that they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Now notice verses 2 and 3. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Now notice, Paul reasoned with them from the Scriptures. You see, he made arguments from the Scriptures proving the death and resurrection of the Christ. Verses 4 and 5 says that some were persuaded and others were not. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 4, when Paul came to Corinth, it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." In Acts 19 verse 8, Paul in Ephesus went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. What we see here is Paul, in his efforts to persuade these Jews of the truth about the Christ, presents arguments for the truth. Why did he do that? Well, because truth matters. Now, what would Paul do when those to whom he preached opposed the truth that he taught and began to debate with him? Did he say to them, "It is not right to debate religion," and then refuse to debate them? Well, no. Look at Acts 9, verse 29. It says, "And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him." Now notice, Paul disputed against the Hellenists. The New International Version translates this verse, "He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews." The New American Standard Bible translates, "And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews." You see, Paul is debating with these Hellenists. He didn't back down from a debate. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 2, we read of Paul and Barnabas disputing with those who taught that Gentiles had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses in order to be saved. Well, these were false teachers, and Paul and Barnabas do not back down from debating with them. It says they disputed with them. You see, these false teachers were persuading others into their error, and there was a need to defend the truth against this false doctrine. Why? Well, because truth matters. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, "Knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." The word defense in this verse is defined by W.E. Vine in his dictionary as a verbal defense, a speech in defense. You see, Paul was ready to defend the gospel even in the face of opposition. You know, Jesus himself engaged in debate. In Mark chapter 12, verses 18 to 28, we read of Jesus debating with the Sadducees over the question, "Is there a resurrection from the dead?" You see, the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. And in verses 18 to 23 of this passage, they make an argument for their belief. Well, beginning in verse 24, Jesus answers their argument and then presents an argument for the resurrection. Jesus debates with them. Verse 28 says in the New International Version, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating." And so Jesus was a debater. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, he defends the action of his disciples. Also, he defended his healing on the Sabbath day in Matthew 12, verses 9 through 14. He refutes the accusation that he cast out demons by Beelzebub in Matthew 12, verses 22 through 30. And so Jesus did not back down from a debate when debate was needed. Why? Well, because truth matters. Well, we today also have the responsibility not to back down when truth is attacked, but stand up and speak out. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Jude says in Jude verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, the faith in this passage is the gospel, the word of God, what we believe. Well, Jude says, contend earnestly for it. W.E. Vine says that contend earnestly signifies to contend about a thing as a combatant. In other words, we are to contend even in the face of opposition. This will include debating. Well, is debating wrong? No. Not only is it not wrong, but it is required of us at times. And the reason we debate the truth is because truth matters. It is the truth that will make us free. But you may be thinking, well, what about Romans 1 verse 29 and 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, where in the King James Version, debate is listed among sins? Well, the word debate in the King James Version of Romans 1:29 and 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20 is translated strife in other translations. The Greek word means strife, contention, is the expression of enmity, W. Vine says. And so the word does not mean making arguments in the defense of the truth. You see, making arguments in the defense of the truth is good, but strife, expressions of enmity, are bad. And that is what is condemned in these passages. You see, debate in the sense of making arguments in defense of truth is good, but debate in the sense of an angry quarrel, where there is strife, contentions, and expressions of enmity, well, that is wrong. But debate does not have to include strife and angry quarreling. Even in debate, we must defend the truth in love. We must be gentle and patient in our efforts to defend the gospel in debate. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 and 24, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." The problem in debating is not debating itself, but the problem is the uncontrolled anger, the enmity that is in the hearts of those who are debating. And also, if it is wrong to debate, would not it be wrong to put forth an argument in opposition to debating? You see, those who present such arguments are debating. They are debating that it is wrong to debate. The fact is, most people are willing to debate what they strongly believe. If they have strong conviction in a matter, most people will try to defend it in the face of opposition. They will debate it. Well, we who are Christians have strong convictions in God, in Jesus Christ, and in what the Bible teaches. This is truth that will make us free from the bondage of sin and give us a home in heaven. It is truth that matters. Let us always be ready to defend it. Let us contend earnestly for it. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program, or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.